Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation Taipei. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. Please check our site at everynationtaipei.com. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, everyone. Wow. Thank you for having me here. Just give me a moment. It's been really exciting to be here in Taiwan. Yesterday, we were at a barbecue. It's fascinating that I'm seeing a lot of people with different faces, different colors, different nationality, and I'm happy to see familiar faces as well since last night. Thank you for having me. First and foremost, I want to thank Pastor Casey and Pastor Hope. Thank you for giving me this privilege to share the Word of God and really just be a part of this movement. Thank you, Kevin and Jelin, for having faith. If anything goes wrong, I blame Maya, okay? So bear with me. I really just want to say I really enjoy what we are seeing in Taiwan, and it's exciting. I didn't know global warming hits Taiwan as well, so it's been so hot. But without further ado, let's move on to what I'm going to share today. And okay, we all grew up with this Disney princess, right? So depending on which Disney princess you like, it kind of tells you which era you're from as well. So I really enjoyed all the Disney princesses. My favorite was Mulan. I really love heroines who actually kick butts and make a change in their world. You guys know this guy, right? Indiana Jones, yeah? And also Mission Impossible, yeah? Okay, I love all this movie growing up. Why? Because all the heroes and heroines really made a difference in what they were setting out to do. So I love all the Disney princesses because they really know they want to change either their world, their life, their course, and they make a change in the other people's world as well, except for Sleeping Beauty, because I don't think you can get anywhere but just by sleeping, okay? So having said that, why I love this movie so much is because I've always been asking myself this question, why am I here? What's the reason for me to be alive? And at a very tender age, at about 6 years old, I remember my mom asking me this, gee, what do you want to do when you grow up? It alludes to purpose, actually. So I knew, I told her, Mom, I want to make a difference in the world. And truly to every Asian mom and culture, she will say something like, you can't even make your bed. You want to make a difference in the world? I think that since that time, I never really talked to my mom about making a difference in the world. But, you know, as a child, you are just brimming with excitement. You are brimming with wanting to make a change. You want to make a difference because there is greatness in you. And God has put greatness in all of us. As a child, ask any child. They have big dreams. No child will say, I just don't want to be anything. They know what they want. They're firemen, policemen, scientists, rocket scientists. They have big dreams. But in Asia, guess what? In the environment, the world never ceases to tell you, you're just never enough. I grew up just like that. You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. The comparison was everywhere. I remember saying, why can't you be like so and so? I would get maybe pretty much okay grades. You know that neighbor, how much did she get? How much did he get? Right, yeah? You know, that's how we grew up. And as a child, when you have you want to dream for such greatness, but you're bombarded with all this negativity, it stifles you. And when it stifles you, there are two outcomes that you can come. You can grow into pacificity, whatever comes, okay, fine, whatever. But the other way is that you become very rebellious. You just want to challenge. You just want to make your own way. You want to show people that you can make it. So guess which camp I went into? There you go. Why not the passivity side? Okay, so I was very rebellious, it's true. I didn't go home. I spent more time with my friends outside. I would stay whole night. I would study. I won't spend time with my family. There was so much going on in me at that time, but I just didn't know how to cope. I was frustrated. I was angry. Angry at the world, angry at my family. Don't get me wrong, my family loves me. I know that. But I just didn't know how to cope with all this dysfunction that was in me. It was so bad that at 18 years old, I knew I had to leave the house. If I stayed home, I would just go crazy. I was getting into depression. I knew it. So I needed to leave. So at 18 years old, I left to KL to do A-levels and freedom, you know, no parents, nothing. But it was very short-lived. It's like a wild animal being let loose. You just want to try anything, right? I was into drinking. I went to clubs. I had bad relationships. And honestly, everything that I tried at that time, it worked for a while. But after that, it just even left me even more empty and hungry inside. I was a mess. So by the time I went to Dublin, and that's where I met Jalene, I was desperate. I was broken. But outside, hey, if you ask her, I was the popular one. She's the nerdy one. I'm the popular one, okay? So I would be playing basketball with friends. I would be hanging out. We would go clubs. And we would drink and things like that. But, you know, I was just so broken. And when I'm with my friends, things are okay. But when I'm alone, the depression hits. It's like, what am I doing here? Why am I studying so hard for? What? Why is this going on? And thank God I had people like Jalene and Laura and Grace who really started reaching out to me. They began to love me as I am, accept me as I am, and they started speaking truth into my life, even though I didn't know who Jesus was. But slowly but surely, because of their love, they invited me to lunches, dinners, small groups. Because of that love, it enabled my heart to be open to a love of a Heavenly Father. Eventually, I did give my life to Christ, and that was the beginning of a change in my whole outlook. But nevertheless, you were still the question of purpose still lingered. What am I called to do? So even after being a Christian, I would pray, I would meditate, I would seek the Lord. God, what do you want me to do? What's your will for me? Of course, in my mind, like Jalene, Lord, just say medical missions. I like to do missions, God. Travel the world and also do missions and medical, Lord God. That's the way, you know. I was like, God, you know, okay, you and me, we're cool, right? Medical missions. So, and I would pray and seek God. And you know, guess what? The Lord said nothing. Okay, nothing. And you know, I was so desperate to know what's the will for my life that I think I started getting on some leaders' nerves. And some of the leaders had to just say, G, what is God calling you to do now? I don't know. Okay, so what is the Bible? What does the Bible say about Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey my commandments. Yeah. So how about that? I'm like, fine. Okay, so I didn't know what else I could do, but I know the Bible asked me to make disciples. Game. So let's just do it. So for 10 years, faithful, just doing that, I went to Singapore, went into started working there, pursued my master's in family medicine, and even got my specialized in family medicine fellowship. It was crazy, it was hectic. Thank God I finished it. But yet, you know, I was still asking. And one fine day when I said, Lord, what's next? And lo and behold, God said, campus. Like, campus? Lord, medical missions. Where did that go? Then it was, after that, nothing, campus. I'm like, okay, God, it's not impossible. Just confirm it. And true enough, sermon after sermon, it was obedience. Okay, God, I surrendered. And true enough, I took the step of faith and I went into campus. And then I realized, as a medical doctor, I can help people heal physically. But as a campus missionary in his ministry, I could help people heal spiritually as well. And that's the difference that I realized God wanted me to make. I may not be able to make a difference in the world, but if I can share Christ to that one person, I'm making a difference in that world. So that was my journey. And this is the questions that we always ask. Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is my calling? We define purpose. Merriam-Webster defined the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. Is it no wonder why depression is so high nowadays? Why anxiety is so high? Why suicide is so high? A lot of these students or these people, they are asking for the question, why am I here? what is the meaning of my life? And because a lot of times they can't find that answer, it becomes destructive in their own lives. And they try to cope, like how I was trying to cope, but we just couldn't find a way out. So, I want to introduce you to one character in the Bible that actually understood purpose very well. It's a little bit of a busy slide, but can we all look to our Bibles in Acts chapter 9? I will read it for you, but if you notice your neighbor doesn't have a Bible, can you nudge them and say, hey, can I share your Bible with you? Okay, so ready? In chapter 9, Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. And the men who were traveling with him, stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake and for my name. So Ananias departed and entered that house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, taking food, he was strengthened. If you read beyond, it was how Paul started to influence the whole world. Why do I say this? Why do I talk about him? Because a life of purpose actually starts with an encounter with Jesus. Believe it or not, Paul, named Saul, he was actually the top scholar of the religious people over there. Okay, he's the valedictorian of that time. And he had the authority to kill any Christian he finds. And when those Christians are bound, it is at the era where they are thrown into the den of lions. They were burned. They were crucified. They were killed for their faith. This guy had that power to do so. But what happened? So for him, he knew his purpose. His purpose was to get all these Christians. But guess what? In verse 5, he said, so suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He recognizes that, hey, this is God speaking. Who are you, Lord? And there was a shift inside of him. So it always starts with Jesus. For me, I thought my direction was into medicine. I thought my direction was to do something great. But you know, until you meet Jesus, only then you realize how blinded you have been all this time. You know, a child who's been born blind will never know they are blind until they start seeing. So for you, do you see? Are you blinded by what you're doing right now? The next, a life of purpose, it starts out with living out with spiritual family. If you look at Ananias, it was very scary for him to actually approach Saul because potentially he could be killed. So how did I know my purpose was actually number one, yes, with encounter with Jesus. Number two, I need a spiritual family around me to talk to me, to correct me, to tell me the truth. So there are two groups of people that we need to be aware, to be mindful. That means, number one, are you humble enough to receive the truth from your spiritual family, your leaders? Are you humble enough to receive correction and feedback? Because honestly, humans, I've learned out of so long, we are not perfect, okay? We all have blind spots. And you need people, friends, and leaders who are around you all the time, observing you, watching your life, to speak truth into you. And I'm so thankful that I've got friends and leaders who spoke to me, say, G, you said this. You've got something instilled in your heart. You need to deal with it. You have unforgiveness in your heart. You need to confess that. And I'm humbled because I'm so thankful for these guys to speak into my life. The second group of people are those who know the truth, but do you have the courage to speak the truth in love? I'm not saying that you feel like you need to say something to that person because you feel that you are right and that person's a bit off. But based on the word of God, do you know that if this person is walking out of alignment with the truth, can you gently correct this person? Because honestly, if those people, those friends, didn't take the step of faith to speak into my life, I do not know where I would be right now, honestly. So you need people that will be willing to risk their friendship to love you enough to speak the truth to you. Do you have those? Last but not least, a life of purpose depends on the Holy Spirit. Who appeared to you and the road in which you come has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Many times we get so lost because we begin to do things in our own strength. And is it no wonder why we get tired, we get exhausted? Friends, the Holy Spirit is there because in John 14:26 it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Always depend on the Holy Spirit. If you depend on yourself, you will burn out. You will get tired and you will honestly walk away from the very purpose that God has for you. So a life of purpose starts with an encounter with Jesus. It is lived out with spiritual family and is dependent on the Holy Spirit. And I mean, there's a reason why we're doing my story right now, because purpose is so important in every person's life. Without purpose, it's like you going into a forest without a compass. When you go in there, at the beginning, the forest may look very beautiful to you, but when the night falls, your food runs out, your energy runs out, you will just become so scared and you will get lost. The next morning will come and you will start wandering again. And you will forget why you were even there in the first place. So purpose is important. But last but not least, my greatest hero is none other than Jesus himself, because he led the greatest purpose of all. In 2 Corinthians verse 8, 9, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty you might become rich. In this verse, it's just telling us that Jesus left his heavenly throne, the fullness of peace, of joy, of greatness. He left all of that to be born as a limited man, that he needed to be dependent on other people. And yet, the reason he was born, for one reason only, to reconcile men to God. And how did he do that? He was crucified on the cross. So basically, he was born to die. I don't know how anybody of us would be able to handle that truth, but he did. And he knew that at one point in his life, he had to take that courage to die on the cross so that I can have that relationship with God. You can have that relationship with God. We can all have that relationship with God. But do you know how much and why he did that? Do you know how much love he had for you that he gave up all of that to be born to die on the cross? I want to take this time to really just ask, where are all of us in this room? Where are you at? You could be at a place where you are still wondering what your purpose is. You could be at a place that you don't even know Jesus and you're just doing your own thing, which is fine. But do you know that there could be more? So I want to take this time, all heads bow, all eyes close. And I'm just going to pray. Where are you at right now? Where are you at? Do you need an encounter with Jesus? Do you need to come before him to ask him, Lord, can you reveal to me whether I'm blinded? Are you at a place where you need to live with spiritual family? Do you need people that can stand by you to speak life into you? Or are you at a place where you really need the Holy Spirit to fill you once again? So I'm just going to pray for maybe two groups of people right now. If you are at a place where, you know, God, I'm just lost. I just want some direction in my life and I need you. And you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your compass, your direction giver. Would you mind just raising your hand? I'll count to three. It's a safe place here. Thank you so much. The second group of people that I want to pray for is, where are you at right now in terms of spiritual family and filling up with the Holy Spirit? If you are that, you're struggling with finding community, you're struggling with finding people. We're going to pray together for the first group. If you have raised your hand for the first group, just follow after me. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for me on the cross. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that you gave your life for me. And I believe that 3 days later you rose once again. Please be my Lord and Master and lead me forever now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to pray for the second group. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this group of people who need spiritual family. Lord, you know them. And Father, I pray, God, that you will help them find those people who will come around them, shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow, to walk this journey with them. Lord, I pray you will encourage them and you will help them grow into the purpose that you have for them. Thank you, Lord, that you, who are our role model, you set out to achieve the one purpose, and that is not even for yourself, God. It is for us. So I pray, Lord, give us faith. Give us courage, Lord, to just stand upon your promises. So thank you, God. Lord, we just pray for everyone here. We pray in faith. We pray that we can thank you, God, that we no longer need to depend on ourselves, but Lord, we can depend on you, Lord, to just enable us to know that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Lord, that in your poverty, we are rich, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, God, that from this day forth, and everyone that walks out of this room, may you be their helper, may you be their comforter, and may you be their God. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray.